are listening to a podcast from Calvary Church in Delran, New Jersey. Our mission and hope is to help people follow Jesus and experience the true life that is found only in Christ Jesus. Enjoy this podcast today.
All right, we're going to go to James chapter 1 again today. I'm going to read some scripture here, James chapter 1, beginning of verse 16. I'm going to read it in just a minute and kick off today. But before we do, my friend Paul Vagnoni sends me jokes every week. Some of them I can use, some of them I cannot. This is one that was useful and kind of fit the theme here today. There's this lady who went to a new dentist. She went to a new dentist to get some work done on her teeth. And when she walked in, she was sitting in the waiting room of the dentist's office, and she looked up on the wall and she saw his diploma and she saw the full name of the dentist. And she said, "Oh my goodness, could that possibly be that young, debonair, gorgeous hunk of a man I went to high school with and had such a deep crush on?" And so she wondered, she was anticipating getting in. And when she finally got in and walked in, she saw this old, balding, a little bit too heavy, deep wrinkles in his face, kind of a not-so-handsome guy. And she thought to herself, yeah, there's no way that's the same guy. He's too old to have been in my class. After he finished working on her teeth, she decided to just ask, "Hey, did you ever go to such and such a high school?" He said, "Yeah, as a matter of fact, I did." She said, "Well, when did you graduate?" He said, 1985. She said, "Oh my goodness, that's the year I graduated. I think you were in my class." And then that old, decrepit, balding, ugly old man said, "What did you teach?" "I don't know. I look in the mirror and I have hair. I don't know what the deal is." How many of you know we can deceive ourselves? Think things that are true that are not. And that's what today's scripture, as we come back to the book of James this morning, just remind you that James was written by the half-brother of Jesus, Joseph being his real literal father, Mary being his mother. James did not believe in Jesus during his earthly ministry, and yet once he was resurrected from the dead, he appeared to James, and James became a devoted follower of the Lord and the lead pastor of the church in Jerusalem. He is writing to a group of Jewish Christians, not in Jerusalem, but who've been scattered around the Roman world, and he is writing to encourage, remind them of faith and living out their faith in a very difficult circumstance. Most of them were persecuted. Most of them were rejected by their family. Many of them were poor and disadvantaged, and James writes to them. We looked last week about a couple of weeks before trials, and then we talked about whack the mole of temptation last week. And today we're looking at identifying and avoiding deception. Let's pick it up at verse 16, where it reads like this: "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above." It's from God, coming down from the Father who created the heavenly lights. He doesn't change like the shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth. God chose to give us, who have come to know Christ, he chose to give us birth. We didn't earn it. He gave us birth. How did he do it? Through the word of truth. We heard the gospel, the truth, the good news about Christ. He quickened faith in us, and we chose to believe and accept him. It says that he did that so that we could be a kind of first fruits, a prototype of all those who were to come, that we would enjoin those in that way. It says in verse 19, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this then. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry regarding what? The word of truth that was planted in us. He goes on to say, "Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but doesn't do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, they will be blessed. They will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet don't keep a tight rein on their tongue deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. I don't know how many of you can remember the Star Wars movies. You remember the very first Star Wars movie? I don't know how many this character appeared in after that, but there was a little robot, little rounded dome, little short robot whose name was R2-D2. You remember R2-D2? And one of the things that he would do, one of his roles was to say, "Danger, danger, danger." He was always warning about the possibility of something coming that would be disastrous for that group of people. It seems like there's all kinds of things nowadays that you and I could be afraid of or that threaten us in some way, shape, or form. Everything from terrorism to natural disasters to vehicle recalls to storms to disease to all kinds of things that seem to threaten us and threaten to bring harm into our lives. And I know that none of us like to have interruptions to our schedules. We don't like it when things interrupt our schedule. We don't like when things interrupt our plans. And yet, how many of you know that people were thankful to know that a hurricane was coming when it was coming? Absolutely. It gave them opportunity to prepare, to get ready, so that the disaster would not be as bad as it would have been had they not prepared for it. In this text today, what James is writing to that church and saying to them is, danger, danger, danger. He's saying, listen, you need to make sure that you avoid the danger of deception. And he points out in this text that there are really two types of deception that they have to watch out for. Well, what is deception? Well, deception is simply being convinced or convincing either ourselves or someone else that something which is not true is true. Deception is when you and I believe a lie. Believe something to be true that it is not. And in this text, James says to the church, listen, guys, danger, pay attention. This is important. You need to make sure that you identify and avoid two kinds of deception that are absolutely going to be in your life if you don't pay attention. What are they? Well, first of all, there is satanic deception. We talked about that last week, about whacking the temptation, the lure, the bait that he uses. He says there's satanic deception, so don't be deceived. That's verse 16. But then he also talks here repeatedly about the other kind of deception, which is self-deception. And in both of these ways, you and I need to protect ourselves against them. I've got to be honest with you. The longer I pastor in this generation, the more I believe that deception could be the biggest threat that we face in the American church today. Not only in the world, the thought, the idea that because we believe in the existence of God or because we're basically decent people or because we're trying to do good works, people believe that all is well. But not only that, but even within the church, and sometimes I believe even within good evangelical churches, and dare I say it, possibly even within Calvary Church, there is the danger of being deceived or deceiving ourselves, of believing that because we intellectually agree with something or we have good emotions about it or we basically listen to Caleb all week long or whatever, we listen to preaching, that somehow all is well with us spiritually. And James says to that church, hey, danger, danger, danger. Make sure that your faith is in fact genuine and practical and that it is all that God wants it to be, because that's where the blessing is. In verse 12, he reminds us that when we avoid temptation and stand the trial, he says that's where we get the crown of life. Life abundant comes as we listen to and go with what the Word teaches. He talks in verse 25 about being blessed. On and on in this text, he reminds us that the good things, the things that bring real satisfaction, come through the Father above, and that we need to avoid deception. Satanic deception is very real. The Bible teaches us very clearly that Satan is a real spiritual being, not a figment of our imagination. It's not a fairy tale, but there are real spirits at work in the world to deceive us, to make us believe things that are not true. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 15, it says that Satan wears costumes. He wears the costume, he masquerades as an angel of light. In 2 Corinthians 4, it says that he's the god, little g, of this age. In Ephesians 2, he is the spirit who's at work in those who are disobedient. In 1 John 5:19, it says that the whole world system is under the control of the evil one, speaking of Satan and his demonic forces. So think about that for a minute. The whole world system, the values, the thoughts, the ideas, the philosophies, the religions, all of it inspired, influenced, and controlled by our spiritual enemy, the Bible refers to as Satan. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, it tells us exactly how he tries to deceive. It says in that text that he appeals to the lust of our flesh. In other words, he appeals to the desires of our fallen human nature. We talked about that last week. He appeals to the lust of the eyes. In other words, he uses beauty and glamour and glitziness. And he appeals to the pride of life. One translation says the boasting of what we have or do. In other words, ego-driven things. So let me summarize it like this. He tries to deceive us through glamorous, glitzy appearances, inspiring charismatic personalities, and ego-gratifying activities to distract us and deceive us with his lies. So James says, listen, pay attention. Identify the deception and eradicate that so that you don't miss out on the blessing, the life, the fullness that God has for you. Don't believe the lie. But then there's also self-deception in this text. Sometimes you and I can simply deceive ourselves. And how do we do that? Well, by failing to follow through on what we hear, by not listening to the voice of the Spirit, by not really pursuing the Word of God, by not listening to it, and by rationalizing or justifying our actions or feeling good about it, but not really actually doing anything with it. And so James reminds us that we need to make sure to avoid these deceptions. And how do we do it? The first statement on your outline says this: how we listen and respond to God's word reveals the genuineness of our faith and delivers us from deception. How we listen to the word of God, when we talk about the word of God, we're talking about the Bible, the teaching of the Bible, the scriptures as you and I have received it from the prophets and the apostles. I don't have time to talk about why that's true. That's a whole nother sermon. But this morning, when we talk about God's word, we're talking about the scriptures. How we listen to it and how we respond to it reveals whether or not our faith is actually genuine, and it helps us to avoid both satanic and self-deception. So in this, number one, how are we going to do that? Well, number one, we need to listen to God's word correctly. Listen correctly. Verse 19 tells us that we're to be quick to listen. Quick to listen. How many of you have ever flown on a commercial airliner? Let me see your hands. How many of you were quick to listen when the, we don't call them stewardess anymore. What do they call them now? Flight attendants. How many of you are quick to listen when the flight attendant began their speech? I've ridden on those planes enough. I am no longer quick to listen. No, I've got either my headphones in, listening to podcasts, I got a book I'm reading, I've already buckled my seatbelt, I know where the stinking float device is, and I am not paying a bit of attention. They talk, and knack, and bring it over your head. Okay, I get it. I've been there, I heard it, I've done that. But how many of you know that if I got on that plane and I knew God gave me a vision, and I knew that that plane was going to need to emergency land in the middle of some big lake somewhere, how many of you know I would be quick to listen when I got on the plane? I would pay a lot more attention. I would be looking under that seat. I'd get on my knees to make sure mine was there. Are you with me? I would look for those lights. I would be quick to listen. What's the difference? When he says be quick to listen, what is he saying? He's saying, listen, be eager and willing for the word of God. Search for the word of God. Be eager to hear it. Be willing and anxious. Be a person who's seeking to know and understand and hear God's word. Turning quickly to the word of God rather than leaving it on the shelf or on the coffee table. As Proverb writer says in Proverbs 2, seek it as hidden treasure. And some of you probably need to seek your Bible just like that because you have no idea where it is right now. That was supposed to be funny. Maybe that didn't come across funny. Rather than it collecting dust, no, we are quickly turning to the Word of God. Not just when a disaster strikes, but we're preparing ahead of time. We are looking and seeking quickly to hear what does God have to say to me today. I am eager to hear from my Father this day. Be quick to listen. The scripture tells us that this is actually one of the ways we know whether or not a person is a genuine follower of Jesus Christ. Just like a baby doesn't have to be taught to crave the milk of his mother, a baby in Christ doesn't have to be taught to crave the Word of God. Because the Spirit has come to live within us when we accept Christ. When we truly place faith in Christ, the Spirit of God moves in within us. And now there is a desire. We want to know the Word. We want to grow. We want to hear it. Jesus said in John 8:31, if you abide in my Word, then you're really my disciples. The person who wants to know and understand God's Word reveals that they are truly a follower of Christ. The person who has no desire whatsoever to read or understand or be involved in learning the Bible, the person who has no interest in worshiping with the people of God, the person who just shows up from time to time demonstrates that while they may be a nice person, have some interest, may feel good about things, they have not truly trusted in Christ. Because when we trust Christ, the Spirit of God lives within us to will and to work and to begin to open us to the Word of God. How do we make sure we don't get deceived? By attending church on Sunday mornings? Well, that's a step in the right direction. But how do we make sure that we are not deceived? We need to be quick, to be anxious, to be eager, to look for what does God's Word say about all of life and begin to take it into our hearts. And then he says, be slow to speak. We don't just listen quickly. We need to listen quietly. In other words, we listen not just anxiously, but we listen carefully and thoughtfully. We listen to understand. We listen with a prayerful attitude to try to really grasp, understand, and hear what the Spirit is saying to us and how it fits us in our particular specific circumstances. What is there for me to learn and do from this text? Okay, what does my wife need to hear here today? Are you with me? You know, what does my neighbor need to know from this text? No. When we come to the Word eagerly and willingly, we come with an open heart saying, Lord, what do I need to hear? Now, I don't know about you, but I've discovered it's next to impossible for me to listen carefully to really understand when I'm thinking about something else or planning what I'm going to say in response when they get through. No, I got to quiet my mind, and it takes work to really listen, to listen with an anticipation, an eagerness, a deep desire to understand and apply. And then he says, be slow to anger. We listen eagerly and willingly. We listen carefully and thoughtfully, and we listen humbly and exclusively to the Word of God. I want to say that again. We listen humbly and we listen exclusively. Let that sink in. Exclusively to the Word of God. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, in other words, we receive God's Word and His teaching as revelation, because that's what it is, without argumentation, without rationalization, and without anger, because it confronts something within us that we don't want to confront. We can't mix the Word of God with our own ideas, desires, or rationalizations. We have to receive it properly. We must humbly bow before the Word, accepting its authority, and work toward eliminating for our lives anything that is not in sync with its truth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, it reads like this, do not deceive yourselves. How would we deceive ourselves? He says, don't deceive yourselves. If anyone thinks he is wise by the standards of this world, you should become a fool so that you can really become wise. In other words, what's he saying? You and I have to submit to the authority of the teaching of the Word of God, accept it as true. Listen, even when it contradicts or convicts our deepest held ideas, opinions, beliefs, or desires. When the Word of God says this is the way it should go, this is what is right in the sight of God, this is how the world existed, this is what is true, this is what you need to do to experience the real life. You and I, even though we don't like it, we may not be comfortable with it, but we know it is true because good and perfect gifts come from the Father of creation. We know it is right and true, and we humbly submit to its teaching even when it makes us mad to do so. Rather than being angry, we humbly accept the teaching of the Word of God. And once again, the Scripture tells us this is one of the ways we know who true believers are and who has not yet given their life to Christ. Jesus said, if you continue in my Word, you are truly my disciples. If you abide in the Word. And by abide, he meant to listen to and to act on that word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul wrote it like this. The man or the person without the Holy Spirit, that would be a person who's not yet received Christ, because when we trust Christ, the Spirit comes to live within us. He says the person who doesn't have the Holy Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. For he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Those without the Holy Spirit reject the teaching of the Word of God and refuse to believe it, refuse to embrace it, unless it matches their worldview. Why? Because they don't have the Spirit of the living God within them to show them, reveal to them the truth, and convict them in their soul of what is right and wrong in the eyes of Almighty God. So one of the ways we know and can see the hunger when people want to know, they blow it. We all blow it. We all make mistakes. But one of the ways we know a person's a genuine believer, one of the ways we know we're a genuine believer, is that in our spirits, even when we sin, we hate it. We don't want to sin. We want to do right. We have a hunger to know the Word of God. We want to get it right. And we say, God, forgive me. I want to do better. Holy Spirit, I'm going to with your strength. Can I get an amen anywhere here this morning? And that's because, not because we're good people, not because we've got it all together, but because the Holy Spirit's come to live within us. And now He opens our eyes to the truth. People without the Spirit of God can read the Bible, intellectually understand everything it says. They can pick and choose to do what they like and throw out what they don't. Why? Because the Spirit doesn't live within them to give them truth and revelation. But you and I can avoid the deception of the world. Listen, how do we avoid deception? By listening correctly, by listening rightly to the Word. How do I listen rightly to the Word? I am careful. I am eager. I listen. I do my best to prayerfully think about how it applies to me, what I need to do with it, and then I bow to its truth and authority even when I don't like it. No one without Jesus. What's up with that? Can't people just believe what they want to believe? Doesn't everybody get to go to heaven if they're a good person and are religious and do good deeds and they pay their taxes and they're just stinking nice people? Well, that's what the world system tells us. But when I come to the Bible, when I come to the teaching of Jesus Christ himself, Jesus left us no option. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's either true or it is false, and it draws a very clear line. That's why we say no one without Jesus. And oh, that the Lord, I've been praying, God, help me to really get that in my mind, that people who don't trust Christ will spend eternity without you. Oh God, let me get it, let me see it, let me hear it in a way that rivets my soul and rivets this congregation's soul so that we are motivated by the Spirit and the love of God to truly fulfill that vision. Can I get an amen there? How do I avoid deception? I need to listen quickly and quietly. I need to listen humbly to eradicate things from my life that are not in sync with the Word of God. In this text, he talks about the Word planted in you. I love that. I love that picture. I love the fact that it was God, our Heavenly Father, through the Spirit, as somebody shared the truth with us, God, the Heavenly Father, by the Spirit, he planted down in your soul. He planted down in your heart the truth of God's Word. The Word of God, which is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword that divides and judges the thoughts and attitudes and motives. He planted that down in your soul. I am so glad for that truth, because it's like a seed planted in the ground. A seed planted in the ground got all kinds of power in it, doesn't it? Oh, and that seed in the good soil can produce many, many other good things. What a great picture that you and I, our heart, our soul is like a garden. It's like a garden that has to be tilled and worked and cared for, because our Father's planting good seeds, but we've got an enemy of our soul, don't we? The enemy of our soul is always planting weeds, and the weeds always grow thicker and bigger, amen? So we've got to keep it clean. And so the Scripture reminds us today, listen well, listen correctly to the Word of God. You know, Jesus talked about that, didn't he? We all remember the parable of the soils, the parable of soils. You remember that parable? Remember that story? Jesus talked about the seed that falls on the path. The path is hard. That's the not now response. Not now. Not right now. I got other things I want to do, other things to think about. I'm not sure that's true. Not now. Thank you. And then the seed that falls on the shallow ground, that's the where there's solid rock underneath, so it springs up quickly, but it can't develop a root, and so it dies out when trouble comes, Jesus said. That's what I call the oh wow response. Oh wow, this church is the greatest thing since sliced bread. And then 2 weeks later, oh, I'm getting out of here. I can't stand this place. The oh wow response. And then there's the seed planted in the soil. It's good soil, but it's mixed. it's got the Word of God, it's receiving the Word, and yet it's got so many other seeds, so many other concerns, so many other desires, so many other things of the world in there as well. It's what I call the holy cow response. I believe, but I want to believe in all kinds of stuff, not just Jesus, not just what he says. But then there's that good soil, which I call the please plow response. Oh, Lord, plow me up. Put it in deeper. Develop the seed. Develop that, Lord, grow that word in me. I receive it fully. I'm pulling out the weeds. Please plow it deep in me, oh God. When you and I begin to listen to the word quickly, we get rid of the not now response. When we listen to the word carefully and thoughtfully, we begin to grow a root and we learn to listen quietly. And when you and I begin to listen humbly and exclusively, we get rid of the weeds and we begin to become that please plow. We've got to listen correctly to the Word of God to keep from being deceived. Number two, and real quick, how do we avoid deception? Number two, we need to not just listen correctly, we've got to practice God's Word intentionally. Simply listening to the Word of God is without value unless it results in appropriate action. It doesn't matter how good I feel about it. It doesn't matter how inspired I feel. It doesn't matter how many tears I cry at the altar. It doesn't matter if I clap, sing, shout for joy. It doesn't matter any of that unless I take the Word of God and actually begin with self-disciplined effort, depending on the help of the Holy Spirit, to actually put it into practice in the nitty-gritty relationships and situations and circumstances and trials and temptations and ups and downs of life. If I'm not quickly listening and then responding with an appropriate, accurate response, then it does me no good, and I'm really just lying to myself, and I'm missing the life God has for me, the crown of life, the abundant life, the fulfillment. As you and I humbly listen and aggressively, intentionally begin to practice the Word of God, we begin to truly experience the life that God has for us. Listen to these verses from the New Living Translation. Listen to how it translates. Verse 22, it says, don't just listen to God's Word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. For if you listen to the Word and you don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. I mean, how silly would it be for us to get up in the morning, go into the bathroom, look in the mirror, our hair is, you know, all over. We got stuff smudged in our face because we had a chocolate cookie last night, and it kind of drooled down there, and we got the stuff in our eyes, and our pajamas are still on. We look kind of fluffy. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. And you look in the mirror, and you say, well, okay, and you walk away, and you go to work just like that. I mean, you know, people would treat you a little differently than they do after you get yourself together. Are you with me this morning? Your boss may send you home. I don't know. But here's what I know. Far too often, as a pastor, I watch people come on Sunday morning and look in the mirror. And I watch them go out the door making promises because they feel good about what they've heard. And yet, I don't see the follow-through oftentimes to the very promises that they've made. And then they get the phone call. Hi, this is your doctor. Hi, this is your spouse. Hi, this is so-and-so. And there's a disaster looming. And suddenly, they wish they had listened and responded to the Word of God so that they were prepared for that disaster that had come. Listen, this is where resisting temptation, embracing trials, trusting the Lord, this is where it becomes reality. When we cry out for the Holy Spirit's help and strength, and with dependence on Him, we begin to literally, intentionally do things that are consistent with what we heard the Bible say, begin to really try to flesh them out, we begin to really experience the life that the Lord has for us. Because the truth of the matter is, life is a spiritual issue. Life is not in the stuff of the world. And one of the greatest lies we listen to is Satan telling us that life is in the world. It's in the stuff of the world, the activities of the world, the sports, the glitz, the glamour, the movie stars, the money, the movies, the concerts. That's where life is, he says to us. And what the Lord says to us is, come to me. Come and listen to my word. Come and hear the word. Because it's the word, Isaiah 55, it's the word. He says, come unto me, all you who are thirsty, you who have no money, you don't have anything to get it with, come and buy it anyway. Come and listen to me, says Isaiah 55. Listen, he says, my word will produce what it's intended, but you've got to listen to me. Come to me, he says. Seek the Lord while he can be found, he says in that text. And he will abundantly pardon, and he will produce the fruit of the kingdom, the kingdom which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, not eating and drinking. Romans 14, 7. As you and I respond to the word, listen to the word correctly, and as we begin to respond intentionally, the Lord will work it. I'll give you those last three things. I won't preach them. The last three things on your sheet there, verses 26 through 28 says, there are three practical areas. Controlled speech. We got to control our tongue to be able to have genuine practical faith. We need to do compassionate service. We serve and care for the poor, orphans, widows. And thirdly, we need to clean our hearts and lives. We keep ourselves from being polluted by the world system. In other words, we have to cleanse our hearts and minds from the thoughts, the ideas, the values of the world system by coming to the Word of God, bowing to its authority, and letting it reshape us. The concluding statement is simply this: you can avoid the threat of deception by receiving and responding to God's Word properly. A few days ago, how many of you got a cell phone? Anybody have a cell phone in the room? A few days ago, did you get that thing, that warning signal thing? How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, I was actually in my car at the time, and my phone syncs to my car, and it was so annoying. Are you with me? I mean, oh my goodness, shut the thing off. It's in the old days, it was over the radio. You remember that? This is a warning from the yada yada. I don't even know what it says because I don't listen. Hello, come on. Oh, I hated that interruption, but how many of you know, if there was a nuclear warhead headed my way, it would have been nice to know that. I'd have paid more attention. You know, Jesus talked about building our lives over at the beach. Remember that story? So the guy that builds right on the beach, right down on the beach, the hurricane comes, wipes him out. He says, no, but the guy who backs up a few blocks, maybe six or so, builds up on nice big high stilts, solid concrete structure. When the hurricane comes, it survives the storm. Jesus said, those who will listen to my teaching and do what it says will be like those with the second house, so that when the storm comes, they don't have to worry, they haven't deceived themselves or been deceived, and they are ready for whatever comes their way, because they've received the crown of life. You with me this morning? Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast today. It is our hope that Jesus would be the center of your life. And if you had not made a decision to yet follow Christ, Romans 10 says that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you'd like more information about our church or how you can get connected, please email us at info@calvarydelran.com. Thank you very much.